Well, tonight, you know, I just felt this in my spirit right before we went, right before we went into the song. I felt like the Lord was saying, like, to admonish all of you tonight, not in a correcting way, but to encourage you. Do a checkup on yourself tonight. Make sure that we're all here tonight in spirit, soul, and body. And I got to tell on myself tonight, like, before we start, like, I came in with good intentions, and some stuff went ruffle my feathers, and my flesh went rise up a little bit. Now, hopefully nobody's feelings got hurt, but I know that the Lord was saying that, you know, we are a spirit, right? We have a soul, and we live in a body. This is not, and I wore warm clothes tonight because I thought it was going to be cold, but they didn't trick me. They didn't turn down the AC, so it's all good. But I know that in the beginning of the service, Pastor, you know, started off the service by praying in tongues, so our spirit got stirred up. So now, whatever's going on, I know we're human. We all go through stuff. Can you guys hear me? Yeah. I don't even need the mic, but, you know, we're recording. But whatever you're going through tonight, yeah, whatever you're going through in your body, whatever you're going through in your mind, we know that, like the song said, He will make a way. And by asking you to give a testimony tonight, I wanted you to remind yourself, like the song said, yeah, He's always made a way. And I want to just pause on that just for a second. I want you to just reflect back for a few seconds of all the times that God has made a way. Just think about it. Just to ease your mind for a second, that no matter what you're going through right now, and I don't know what, whatever you might be going through might be way worse than my little temper tantrum, you know? But he has made a way, and He will continue to make a way. Amen? And He will continue to make a way. And the cool thing about God is that He never does the same thing twice. He always does it in a different way. He's so fancy and awesome and cool like that, you know? And you know what else is cool is He never uses the same person, you know? And He never uses the person that you think He's going to use, you know? I'm reminded of the Good Samaritan, you know? You know, the story of the Good Samaritan, we don't even know where this guy is going, right? We don't know the story of where he was going. Maybe he was going to church. Maybe he was going to one family picnic. He was going to work. We don't know where he was going. He was going someplace though, right? And then he got jumped. He got mobbed. He got left for dead. And three people passed by him, right? Two, until the Good Samaritan showed up. This is not even on my notes. This is just the pot that was stirred before the service started. And the two people that probably should have stopped and helped this gentleman, right? They just kept going on with their busy lives, right? And then what happens? I know some of you guys are more versed in, you know, Greek and Hebrew and all that. The Samaritan he wasn't a Jewish person. I know that much. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I see some ministers in the audience tonight, so, you know, I can take some correction. I think he wasn't supposed to have anything to do with the Jewish people. Am I correct? So God was able to use somebody that was basically an enemy of the Jewish people to help this person in dire need. Man, I'm totally going off. This is not even anything what I was going to preach about. So that is for somebody tonight. It might not be for somebody in this service. It might be somebody going to be listening to this message later on, and they needed to hear that. And I give my wife credit for this one, because she's the one that always tells me that, you know, you cannot tell God who to use. And she smiles. Because I always get into that mode where, like, you know, I don't know if you guys are like me, like, you do stuff with people, and then, you know, maybe down the road you figure, you know, I need some help, you know, and you go ask that person that you helped, and then they're too busy for help you, or they don't help you, or they don't help you the way that you want to be helped, right? And then God uses somebody else, and then God says, hey, man, I'm God. Don't put your faith in the flesh, right? Put your faith in me, because I'm the God that can make a way. Amen? I hope somebody got that. If nobody got anything out of that, I got something out of it. I needed to hear that, okay? So Tonight, I'm going to be talking for a little bit, well, maybe like 10, 15 minutes, and maybe longer than that. I don't know. I'm going to be talking, and I got some things here, and that's been just stirring in my spirit. And what I wanted to start off with, yeah, is I'm going to start off with the Word. That's where we should start off. And I want to turn to Romans 8:28. And I'm going to go right off what the song was singing. And I'm going to grab this water real quick.
As you're turning.
And as you find your place in Romans 8:28, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, and it goes like this. Romans 8:28 says, and we know. He's talking to the people like they know what he's talking about. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But how many of you know, yeah, that sometimes when we're going through stuff, yeah, sometimes it just doesn't feel like, I don't know how God's going to turn this around. Now, you ever been in that kind of situation? Yeah. It's good to see you tonight. Thank you for coming. You make me nervous sitting there. You know that? Sometimes things happen, right? We go through life and we get into these sometimes impossible situations where we think, man, I don't know how God is going to turn this around. I really messed things up. You know, like I've been doing good. And then all of a sudden this happens. You know, like I have been endeavoring. I'm just going to turn this on me now. I've been endeavoring to lose a little weight. Now, everybody look at me and laugh a little bit. Because, yeah, like if you guys, I'm sure that a lot of people are looking up here and saying, man, I wish I was overweight like Brother Kimo over there, man. Like, that guy's kind of skinny, yeah, for be losing weight. Well, a couple of months ago, I found out on an accident that I had elevated blood pressure or high blood pressure. So I had to start doing some stuffs to try and alleviate that without medication because I don't like to take pills. And so we started doing intermittent fasting. So if some of you guys don't know what that is, there's different times and hours and there's all kind of different formulas they have out there. And what I started doing and my wife started doing with me was the 16-8. So we would eat for 8 hours and we would fast for 16. So, you know, you got to figure out which meal you're going to skip. So at first I was skipping dinner, and dinner wasn't a good idea because I like to eat with my family. And then, so it's either I'm going to skip dinner, I'm going to skip breakfast. And breakfast is kind of a little bit of a stretch because, you know, you wake up and the whole term of the word is breaking the fast. So, you know, like I want to eat again. So we did that for a while and I lost a little bit of weight. Yeah, I know that you cannot really tell that I even lost or gained any weight at all, right? But I lost weight and I'm still overweight by about 15 pounds, would you believe? And I'm trying to figure out where I'm going with this. So, in the course of doing that, yeah, of course things happen. Like, you know, if you look at what you're doing as a temporary thing, yeah, as I want to use the word diet, yeah, you're gonna fall off, and you're gonna be like, okay, this is only temporary, so that I can do what I want to do later. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what happened. Like, okay, so I've been doing that for a couple of months, and then now I'm like, okay, I'm just going to eat breakfast, you know? I don't eat breakfast. I'm going to put cream in my coffee, Pastor, you know, because I was tired of drinking black coffee, you know what I mean? All these things, and then, you know, I go on the scale, and I'm like, oh, hey, surprise. Like, oh, the weight's coming back on. Like, you know, and like, yeah, I want to share something with you, and I think this is going to make you guys laugh. And, you know, sometimes we go on what is called, like, a stress diet, you know? And like I said, I want to use that word diet again because That's really what it is. And a stress diet goes like this. Breakfast, a half a grapefruit, a slice of whole wheat toast, and 8 ounces of milk. Sounds healthy, yeah? Lunch, 4 ounces of lean broiled chicken breast, 1 cup of steamed zucchini, 1 Oreo cookie, some herb tea. Mid-afternoon snack, the rest of the package of Oreos, 1 quart of Rocky Road ice cream, 1 jar of hot fudge. For dinner, 2 loaves of garlic bread, a large pepperoni pizza, a large pitcher of Pepsi, 2 Milky Way candy bars, entire frozen cheesecake eaten directly out of the refrigerator. So, you know, like when we look at these things, yeah, when we're working on something, yeah, when we're working on an impossible, yeah, what I am learning, I'm not going to say that I've learned, because I'm still growing, is that when you look at a project that you're working on, yeah, that's going to take a lifetime to do, it's got to be a lifestyle. It cannot be a diet. And you know, like you can, I have a friend who's a nutritionist and said, well, you know, chemo, you can do 14 days on, 1 day off. And you take 1 day and you just eat whatever you like, and you do that continually until you get to the point where you get to that 14th day, and when it's time for you to eat whatever you like, you're not going to go crazy. You're not going to eat the whole cheesecake out of the refrigerator. You're just going to eat, you're going to eat a little bit, but you're not going to indulge. And then that becomes a lifestyle. And see, this is the thing, yeah? We need to not, okay, so and the thing about doing something like this and doing a lifestyle like this is that the fear of failure, you know, like I said, yeah? You do it for a while, you fast for a while, you fast for a couple weeks, you read your Bible, you do everything that you're supposed to, you work out at least 3 times a week, you walk every day, you know what I mean? You drink your water, and then you're like, oh, I'm going to mess up. Yeah, you're going to mess up. Of course you're going to mess up. Amen? But that's what's going to happen, but you just get back on. It says, and I like this quote by Matthew McConaughey, and I strive to be this. Don't fear failure. Fear being in the exact same place next year as you are today. And I'm going to expound on that because I could go in so many different directions in so many different people's heads. For me, this is like next year, yeah, this time, I don't want to have the issues with anger that I have. Okay? I'm just being honest. Okay? I don't like getting mad about stupid stuff. I mean, you can ask these guys. I went up there for start the service, and things wasn't set up. And I think you can ask Lambert. I wasn't that mad, but they could tell I was a little upset that things wasn't, you know, the way it needed to be. Come on, laugh. It's okay. Laugh. Ha, ha, ha. And, you know, my experiences with my kids, you know. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I can throw them under the bus because they're my kids. You know what I mean? And they know I love them, and I'm not putting them out there for shame them. It's more on me. Last week, I was dropping off one of my boys at school. I'm not going to say his name. And we like music. We're a music family. One of these days, Elizabeth, we're going to go up there. We're going to sing one song for you guys. It's going to happen. My wife's looking at me, but we're going to do them. She got a good voice. My notes. No, I'm getting there. Don't worry. It's this is on my notes. Now you made me lose my train of thought. So we were driving. And, you know, he likes to put on his own music. We all get our own playlists. And as we were going to school, I was talking to somebody on the phone. And this person I was talking to was, like, in an area where it was, like, bad coverage. Okay, so I'll give you that. And I drop him off at school. He jumps out. And I'm driving away. And, like, the thing got real bad, the coverage. And I just figured, oh, he's in, you know, Huelo. I just drop off. So I'm driving. And then, you know, there's like a little icon on your vehicle that tells you, you know, you got your phone, you got all your phone numbers and all this stuff, yeah? Then I look in the truck and I'm like, oh, there's no phone in the truck. Oh, he took the phone to school. Oh, Brian, I tell you what. The chemo maybe 2 months ago, yeah, he would have eaten the whole bag of Oreos, man. He was, man, I would have been like, man, like that fire element in the Disney movie. So then I was like, oh, man, I figured out, okay, I got to go get this phone because And what he did was he called my wife. And he said, I get dad's phone. And I was like, okay. So I went to the school. But long story short, I just tell you this. I'm not going to, you know, this is not the message, but this is part of it. When I got there, I wasn't mad because I knew that it was my fault. It was my fault, not his fault, you know. And he was kind of, you know, afraid, you know, that I was going to just flip tables. But no, it's cool. I told him I love you, grabbed the phone, and I left. And I wish that that was the end of the story, okay? I wish that that was like, and from then on, I'm like the best dad ever, you know? Like leave it to Beaver, you know what I mean? Like, praise the Lord, right? Come home and like, hey, how you doing, kids, you know? But, you know, as life goes on, you know, there's other situations that come up, and you mess up, and you get, you know, things happen, you know? But what do? You stay in that slump and you'd be like, okay, now this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be forever and not try and not do anything else, right? No. You keep going and you keep pressing, right? And you cannot make, see, the thing is, yeah, good feelings don't make good decisions. Now, listen, just think about that for a second. I'm going to take a drink of water. Can I get an amen on that? Do you guys understand that? Do you concur, Pastor? Good feelings don't make good decisions, yeah? Think about it. Good feelings, oh, I feel good, don't make good decisions. I'm just going to let that sit there. Just let that marinate for a couple minutes, yeah? Good decisions, though, on the flip side, make good feelings. When you do right, those real good feelings come, you know? Especially when there are decisions made on the Word of God. Amen? And we know that if we are moved by our feelings, that's not a good way to live. Give me a second here. I'm like all over the place, and it's okay. We're talking about feelings now, right? Good feelings don't make good decisions. But when we make the right decisions, we make godly decisions, not only do we get the good feeling, but we get to bless other people, and God is glorified through our good intentions and our good decisions, right? And our godly decisions, right? Amen? And it's interesting, like, when we decided to help with the kids fest we had this year, you know, I don't even know what did we call it, Pastor? It was LOL, right? Living out loud. When we decided to help out with that, the decision to do that, a lot of good feelings came out, and we saw the turnout for all of you that came out that night. I believe and I know that was a success. It was awesome. How many of you guys, I think you guys should give yourselves a hand for that night. Come on. We have another event coming up. And this event is going to be, what is the name of this event? I'm sorry. A Christmas blessing, yeah? It'll be Christmas celebration. We're going to be doing another outreach. not only to the people of Lahaina, but everybody affected by the fires, right? And we need everybody's involvement again. Everybody's involvement. And I believe that when we set our minds to do something as a body of believers, like we did that Saturday, well, Saturday night we did it, right? Man, it was a blast. And you know what is interesting, yeah, is that, you know, there wasn't a huge amount of people, but I believe the people that came out were the ones that needed to come out. And what I want to encourage you to about is that the ones who came out and helped with the event, you needed to be there to reach the people that only you could reach. You know that? Only you can run the race that you can run. And to some people, yeah, this is off of my notes, it's just off of the spirit. To some of the people that you will meet, not only at the functions and at the church, yeah, you will be the only Jesus that they ever meet in their whole entire lifetime. I want you to think about that for a second. That's a pretty heavy thing to carry. Like, you will be the only Jesus they ever meet or ever allow to come speak into their lives, you know? And like the song, yeah, He Will Make a Way, yeah? I like some of the verses where they were talking about He Will Make a Way, yeah? One of the verses says, I won't fear tomorrow because you're already in it. I can only imagine, like, some of the stories I've heard of some of the people that have gone through this devastation in Lahaina and Kula, some of the people that lost families, the fear of not knowing what's going to happen in the years to come with the rebuilding and everything. And more closely to that is the fear of what's going to happen for the holidays. You know, Christmas is like one of the main holidays. I mean, like, as a kid, I love Thanksgiving as an adult. I like Thanksgiving because of the food and the family. But when I was a kid, yeah, I loved Christmas. I mean, if you think about Christmas when you were growing up, and we grew up dirt poor. I'm telling you, like, I don't want to compare, and my mom is shaking her head. No, but I'm bringing that up for a point, though. But no matter how much we struggled throughout the year, my mom and dad always managed to pull some kind of miracle at Christmas to get us what we wanted, you know? And I look back on that and like, man, that was some cool stuff, you know? Because, like, I remember, like, coming home and having government cheese and canned pork and all this other stuff we eat, you know? I mean, some of you guys don't even know, like, we used to have cheese in a huge block, and there was no sliced Velveeta. It was like you take the knife and you cut it, you know what I'm saying? And I can say that with a smile because those are some good times, man. Those are some good times because you learn to appreciate what you have now. You know what I'm saying? And I endeavor to give my kids a better life. But, I mean, I wouldn't mind having some government cheese with them, you know, once in a while, you know, so they could appreciate what we have, you know? You know what I'm saying? And so I say that, like, with a grain of salt to encourage you even more. There should not be one person that is a part of Faith Family Fellowship that is not involved in this next adventure that we do in the public to bring people in, not only to bless them, but to show them who Jesus is. And I like what Pastor said. He said that Faith Family Maui will have the opportunity to be the Christ that expresses Christmas to the people of Lahaina and everyone affected by the fires. Think about that. We have the opportunity. You know, when this thing first happened, when this devastation first happened, I had the opportunity and privileges of going with Pastor Herman to get some supplies. The very next day, right, we went to, you know, Walmart and got some waters and got some other things. And in my heart, I wanted to help more, you know, as is all of you. I can tell that all of you just wanted to help. Right? And all of you have probably had people that was affected by the fires. And I remember coming up to Pastor, in his office and said, man, what are we going to do? And pastor said this to me, and it was so cool the way he said it. He said that, well, there's going to be waves of people going out to help. And now this is our wave. This is our turn. This is our opportunity. This is our wave to go in and help the community. Amen? This is our time. This is our time to bring our best, to stir up our pot and give our portion of the Spirit so that these people, yeah, whether they come to our church or any other church on the island, they'll be able to proclaim God has made a way. They can sing their own songs that He has made a way. When there was an impossible time, which is right now for many of them in their lives, yeah, they will one day be able to proclaim God has made a way, and they can pay it forward and bring it to the next person and say, look, I may not know what you're going through exactly, but I know hurt and I know pain, and I know the God of the impossible, and I know that He can make a way because He's made a way in my life. Amen? Our part is to bring our supply. This Christmas event is going to be a love in action, reaching out to those who feel forgotten, hopeless, and frustrated, those who need a touch from God. Like I said, you will, not might, I was going to say might, you will be the hands that will be able to hug and touch the people that are afflicted by this scenario that's happened. I don't want to delve into any more words about it. It's just sad. It's a devastation. And but we have the opportunity and the privilege to be a help, right? Today, my wife and I, we went out and we passed out flyers to different businesses. I know she told me not to say we did, but I'm just going to say we did. And not to do this, but to say we did. And I know you guys can do as well. I think we need to broadcast this more, more than we did the other event. You know, we need to get this out to as many people as we can. Is that okay, Pastor? Did I say that? We need to learn all the good things we did in this last event. It was amazing and awesome. I got no bad things to say about it. But if you step back, you can always think about, okay, what can I do better the next time? You know, we just went out on trip, yeah? We just came back from a trip. And like last year's trip, yeah? You can ask my wife. I do this every time. When we coming home on the plane, I'm on my phone, and I'm putting notes of like, what can I do better on the next trip? And the last trip we went on last year, we drove through the state of Arizona. And the last time I was in the mainland driving that long was 20 years ago. I drove from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Panama City Beach, Florida, in a 15-passenger van with a youth group to go do praise and worship at an event at spring break. And I had a blast, Pastor. Not so much this time driving across Arizona, you know, with a family and 20 years older. You know what I'm saying? So I took notes. And I put in the notes of what I wasn't going to do on this trip. We ended up driving 8 hours in Utah that one day we were there. But it was okay because it wasn't on the freeway. But, you know, you take notes, you know. And these big things that we're doing, and they are big. They're huge. It's going to be huge for some kid this Christmas. It's going to be huge for some mom and dad that don't have the means to give their kids the best that they can give them this year. Well, we're going to be able to do that. Amen? It's going to be huge for them. And it's going to be huge for us. You know? I cannot wait. And what are we going to be? What are we? And I want to close with this. Matthew 5. And if you want to turn there. Say amen when you're in Matthew 5. Matthew 5, and we're going to be reading from 13 to 16. Matthew 5, 13, 16. And it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what we are to be. In this event, we are to be salt. What is salt? Flavor, yeah? I was hoping somebody would say that. We bring flavor. We bring the flavor to the earth. Amen? We are to be flavor. And what is light? What does light do? It shines. Well, what do you use a flashlight for? To see? For direction. Amen? And that's what we're doing. We're showing the world that we can love people in this way that just brings flavor and light to the world. Amen? And I want to just add one more thing before I'm done. I had this in my notes, and I was trying to find a way to add it in, and I feel like we need to make this personal, this thing, this event. It needs to become personal. And I'm going to say this for me. I'm not going to throw you guys in this boat. Like, sometimes it's easy for me to take things personal in a bad way, you know, negative things. You know, somebody cuts you off, and I take it personal sometimes. You ask my wife, she's like, I don't even know you, bro. Like, why are you going to chase them down? You know, we've heard stories about this before. You know, like, what about you walking in the grocery store, and you let your kid push the wagon, and he bangs your ankles? Take that personal, you know what I mean? Like, you know, silly stuff like that, you know? It's so easy to take the negative personal, yeah? Somebody don't call you back, they don't return your texts, you know what I mean? They don't invite you to the party. Everybody else going but you, or they invite you the last minute, you know what I mean? You know the saying, if they invite you last minute, they never like you come, yeah? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm saying all these things, but you know, we know, I know. I can say me more than anybody. I know how to take things personal. But we need to take this personally. We need to take it personal like it was our kids, like they're our family. And when we allow God to move in our lives as salt and light and take this thing personal and take it to the next level and make it like my kid's not having something for Christmas, or, you know, we're not having on house over our head. Watch God move in this event, not just for our church, for the people of Maui, and not just for Maui, for the rest of the world. The world has already seen how Maui has organized to take care of its own people. If any of you guys have been out to Lahaina, man, you can tell, man, the community is coming together. It's coming together. And now, remember, in the beginning I said, we're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Now, we can do all these things in the natural, right? We do all these things in the natural, yeah? And, you know, people's minds still can think a certain way, you know? But then when we allow God's spirit to come in to all these things, yeah, that we do in the natural, like the word says, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what do? They will glorify him. Amen? And that's all I got to say tonight. I hope you guys take this to heart. I believe this is going to be a huge and awesome and glorious event. I believe all of you guys will be involved, and it's going to be tremendous. And I'm excited to be a part of this, and I look forward to it. Amen.